some changes. I've been through this process last year, you know, with my own brother. And as he knew his days were coming to an end, he invested them wisely. It was wonderful to watch. Painful, but wonderfully peaceful to watch him choose the people he was going to talk to and who he had to finish speaking with before he left this planet, because God had given him a warning of his end. And God has given that to us. You see, you don't have to be physically terminal from the notice of a doctor to notice that you're terminal. Have you, you know, some of you got up this morning and your body told you, you went, terminal. That's the point, friends. It's reminding you, you are a mortal person. You are going to die, or you're going to rise forever if he comes before you do. But friends, this body is going to have a change. And so, how long is this question? And he points out this times and a half a time, which we went over already. That's that 3.5 year period, okay, entering into the Great Tribulation. But here's the thing. Friends, as we walk through all this, understand this. You can trust the God who controls time with your life. You can. And so tough times are coming, all right? And realize this, that God is controlling. Here's your first principle. God controls the clock of human history to complete his plans. He says, this is what's going to happen. And he's went over it in great and specific detail. Now, like we said, a lot of people want more detail. But he told us here in chapter 12, verse 1, that there's this great time of distress coming. And if you look back over there in chapter 7, it's a little correlation here this morning. See, that's the problem with prophecy. Prophecy requires extensive correlation, okay? And so for me to really cover this in a way that would give you the full grasp is you have to sit here while we teach through Revelation from chapter 6 to 13, as well as Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians, and you blend all those together, and then you get all the pieces of the puzzle, because we're getting different pieces, and it's all one picture, but the pieces are in different books of the Bible. So sometimes it's hard to blend them all together. So we'll just stay mostly here in Daniel this morning. So Daniel 7, 23, he says, in the fourth beast, remember he talked about there's four different beasts representing the empires of the world that were going to come, and the fourth beast was representing the final empire before the return of Christ. Okay? And so he says, on the fourth beast will be on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth, tread it down and crush it. See, that's one of the significant things to understand. There's coming an empire that's going to control the whole earth. That has not happened. That has not happened. So some people talk about these prophecies. Oh, this has already happened. No, it hasn't. This has not taken place yet. And for the 10 horns out of this kingdom, 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and they'll be different from the previous ones and subdue 3 kings. So there's going to be some power moving and shaking going on. And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and laws, and they'll be given into his hands for a time, times, and a half a time. And the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. And then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So he says, hey, there's coming this completion, all right? And he's mentioning half of this 70th week. Remember, we had the 70th week. Turn with me over to Daniel 9. Remember that there was the 70 weeks that prophesied, which set us up for the coming of Christ. Remember? In verse 24 of Daniel 9, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring about everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So he said there's 70 weeks, and that was 70 weeks of years. Remember we talked about that? That we're going to complete this whole process. And so you are to know and discern from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is how many weeks? 69. Okay, and it will be built again, and plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And so we saw that prophecy was completely fulfilled. Jerusalem was rebuilt, even though it had been totally destroyed. The Jews had been scattered across the earth. They were brought back under the decree of Cyrus. They rebuilt the city. They rebuilt the temple. And then it says, then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. So it says, Messiah is going to come at that time. And we saw that the date pertained precisely to the return of Jesus Christ at the triumphal entry, right? And it says, and Messiah will be cut off, and the people, the prince who's to come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there'll be wars, and desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction of one that is decreed is poured out of the one who makes desolate. He's going to make a covenant, okay, this covenant of peace. The Antichrist is going to come, make this covenant. It says, in the middle of a week, okay, a week of years is how many years? Seven. So you go to the middle of seven, you got what? 3.5. A times, times, and a half a time, okay? That's that same phrase. It's 3.5. You'll find that paralleled into Revelation. I cannot go in there this morning. We'll take a peek in there next week, all right? So, in the middle, he's going to break the covenant. There's been a covenant of peace made with Israel. He's going to break the covenant. And it says, in that passage we saw over in 7, he's going to set up himself as God. He's going to make the abomination of desolation. It was prefigured with Antiochus the Great. We talked about that happened in the Second Temple back. And he says, now it's going to happen again. All right? So let me show you one person's chart, and there's lots of charts out there, but this might just help just a little bit to see. All right? So you're talking about there's a covenant made with Israel, and perhaps, I believe, with all the world, because the world is in this great turmoil. Jerusalem continues to be an unsolved problem. Isn't it amazing the world can't solve a problem? The country is 60 miles wide by 120 miles long, okay? And it is the center focus of the world. Jerusalem is the timepiece of God, friends. You look at it and you'll see everything is going to be hinging around what he's doing. So 1260 days, 3.5 years in, he's going to break the covenant, okay? And they're talking about sacrifices being offered, which is one of the assumptions made, which means therefore that the temple will have been rebuilt, okay? All right? And at that point, then there's 1260 days of rule of the Antichrist, the finishing of it. But at 1290 days, the understanding that he talks about here is when we believe the Antichrist will meet his end at Armageddon. All right? And I won't be able to take you to all those different passages. And then he says, 1330 days at the end of verse 12, blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to 1335. That's not detailed anywhere. But in this person's chart, their understanding is that would be the rule of Christ, the exaltation of Christ. Okay? But sometimes God doesn't explain all of his details. But I want you to see just a little bit of a picture there that'll give you some of that. All right? And then comes the thousand-year reign of Christ. And we talked about that resurrection that he mentioned here already. So friends, what do we take out of this? God says, I've got time in my hands. I got all the world's time in my hands. And that includes he's got your time in his hands. And so, friends, in Ecclesiastes 3, it says this. Would you read it with me? There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. There is a time for everything. There's a season for every activity. There are some of you who are going through something right now and you're saying, I didn't want this. I'm here to tell you the Bible says there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. There's difficulties that you're going through. And if you will yield up to the King of Kings, your time right now, you could begin enjoying your time instead of fighting the King of Kings about your time. And just a little hint from personal experience, you're going to lose. Just a little hint. I've already tried that. I've already lost those many, many times. You know, you debate and you argue with God and you get to the end and you go, oh, that was better. He goes, uh-huh. So just go ahead and say thank you right now where you are and you're going to move into that new spot of enjoying his time. So He says there's going to come then this shattering of the power of the holy people. And so there is a persecution that comes, and it's talked about here in Daniel, and this is going to be where people diverge on their viewpoints, okay? He talks both about the saints, he talks also about the Jews, both undergoing persecution, all right? And so at that time, we need to understand something that he says here. Verse 10, many will be purged, purified, and refined. Friends, persecution purifies. There is a point for it. It is not just meaningless hostility being poured out upon the church, and it is happening all across the world today. In Somalia, there are people dying today for their faith, all right? In Eritrea, in China, all right? And in many of the stands, there are people in prison, in Iran, and in Iraq. And they are standing up for Christ, and because of even giving a testimony, because of even being baptized like we're going to do today, people will be killed by their own families. So persecution has already arisen. But he says, and there's a purging, there's a cleansing. All right? Purging is the idea of ridding. It's taking something away. It's getting sin out. All right? It doesn't mean that those who are persecuted are sinning. What it means is in the midst of persecution, that it causes you to focus and turn away from sin, all right? And then it says they'll be purified. That's that made spotless white. It's cleansing. And then refined is a term from smelting, okay? The working of metal, it has to do with the crucible, the blast furnace, where metal is heated until the dross rises out of it, all right? And sometimes there are things that God is doing in his world that's going to require the removing of dross from the church. And it comes through persecution. So here's your second principle. Friends, God uses painful, temporary processes to accomplish his glorious, eternal purposes. Right? He uses painful. Yeah. That's the part we don't like to embrace. But any of you who have been there through athletes or even through surgery know afterwards there's rehab. And it's a painful process, but it yields results. God says, I've got a plan. And so as you're going through a pain right now, he says, embrace the pain that you might experience his peace. We don't have time to go there this morning, but over in that passage in 2 Corinthians, he talks about being afflicted and perplexed and persecuted and struck down. And he says, we're always destroyed that we might carry about in our body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body, that you might reveal Jesus to people around you. How do you do that? When your circumstances are so different and difficult, and people go, why do you live that way? Then Jesus shows up when you live a way different than the world. When you handle life differently than the world handles life, they can see Jesus. You see that? That's a critical factor, friends. And we're going through something. Sometimes I see people getting mad at God. Christians get mad at God. And going, no, God's just trying to show up. He said, God, I want you to shine through my life. And so he sends trials into your life. You go, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Because trials are mercies in disguise, friends. They are things displaying the greatness of God in your life if you'll embrace that in the process. And so the goal of trials is to remove the dross and to reveal the treasured Jesus Christ in your life. So, pray about it, walk into it, and understand this. He says the wicked are going to act wickedly. And that's one of the other things. When trials come, it reveals the wicked people choose wickedness. He says the believer is going to choose righteousness. He's not going to walk away from it. So your responses reveal your character. All right? And he says, those who understand this, it helps you respond to the situations that you're in. All right? And so that's a critical thing. So there are coming times of greater persecution for the believer. All right? And those times are an opportunity for what? To reveal Jesus. And our Savior, the most beloved Son of God, did he suffer persecution? Didn't you say you're following him? Yeah, everybody wants to follow Jesus in the resurrection. Nobody wants to follow Jesus to the cross. But he says, my disciples will what? Pick up their cross daily, a daily dying, and follow after me. I know that's not American culture, friends, but that's biblical truth here. And that's what he, when he gives us promises, it's in the context of the pain that he's inviting you to go through. Look how it's put in John 16:33. Read this promise with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you'll have trouble. In this world you'll have tribulation. He says, but take courage, I've overcome. And where is Christ? He's in you. You have the overcoming power of Christ in you. We're going to be baptizing some folks for their faith today. And they're declaring, my Christ lives in me. I have started a new life. I have the overcoming power of Christ in me. So then we come to this last part at the end. He says, verse 11, from that time the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up. There will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end, that is the end of your life, Daniel, and you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. And I was thinking about this and how to describe this, and here's the principle that came up. God has your days numbered and your reward ready. Is that good? God's got your days numbered and your reward ready. He says, Daniel, just let it go. You're going to go to your end and you're going to rise up and you will receive your portion. You're going to receive this blessing. There's something that I've prepared for you. Because remember, Daniel was described as this man highly esteemed of God, greatly beloved, the angel said when they came to him. And that's actually what the Bible says of us, is that we are God's family. We are greatly beloved of Christ. And so he describes these specific events moving into the tribulation. And it's telling you, friends, there's coming this whole time of judgment that everyone is going to be accountable before God. Everyone is going to stand before the judge. And you know, the time to change your plea is before the sentence is decreed. You follow me there? When you know you're going to stand before the judge, you know, and this is where people try to say, they're telling you, I'm innocent. Wrong. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, Proverbs 14:12 puts it this way in particular. Read it with me. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. He says, if you will go ahead and plead guilty and claim the work of Christ for yourself, don't claim you're innocent. Say, I'm guilty. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. Then when the judge says, oh, forgiven. See? Otherwise, he's going to have to say what? Guilty. He's a righteous judge. All have sinned and fall short. So you can take this on and experience the grace of God. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a choice to follow, friends. If you've been on the wrong way, it is okay to turn around. And the time to turn around is now. And so he's given us this revelation that we might understand what is coming, friends. Let me read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to know where I'm going, it's Revelation 22. Let me just read to you something here. And he said to me, this is the angel to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. That's a complete difference, isn't it, than Daniel? So when Revelation was written, he says, you've entered into the end times. Christ had already been come, he'd already been resurrected, and that put us into this different time. He says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they enter into the gates of the city. Outside are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. And let the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Even at the very end of the book, when it's saying Jesus Christ is coming back, he says, if you're thirsty, he says, come to Christ. And he will give you a drink that will give you life forever. Friends, we go through this life living as though it will never end. How many of our friends have we said goodbye to this year? We know this life ends. And this is it. This is your chance to make a difference. This is your chance to make a decision to follow him. This is your chance to live for him. And I just want to encourage you that you can trust the one who controls time with your soul. You can. If you never have, this very day, I'm going to invite you to say, I will follow Christ. Christ was publicly crucified. I would invite you this morning to publicly come as we close this service and say, I choose to follow Christ today. I've never made that commitment. If you want to make that commitment this morning, you make that today. God is trustworthy, friends. He's trustworthy. You can trust God. As you go through these hard times, Satan will use painful experiences to try and get you to deny God. God's using those very painful experiences to purify you, to exalt God. The exact same circumstance is an opportunity to respond to God. Friends, it's not what you go through. It's how you go through it. It's not what you go through. It's who you go through it with. And Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So are we there yet? Not quite. But we are so close, you can almost see the clouds begin to glow. He's coming in the clouds, friends. You can almost see it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, to see how many things he's lined up already. So what do? Then you live for him today, because today may be the only day that you have. In fact, it is. You can only live in today. Have you ever noticed that? You could try and live in yesterday, but you're just wasting today. And you can try and live in tomorrow, but you're just frustrating yourself today. Just live today. Let's pray. Father, I would ask that you would give us a grasp of this truth, that we would understand what you're about and see your plans in better detail and walk with you. So thank you for your plans for us. Thank you that you have prepared us to be a people saved from your wrath, even though we'll undergo the wrath of the evil one and the rejection of this world. We say thank you that we might be purified, that we might be holy, that we might honor you with our lives. So show us, Lord, how to turn over these troubles to you, that we might exalt you in the present with great joy, with great peace, that Jesus might be manifested through us. In his name we pray. Amen.